So up to this point, we've looked at the five aggregates and the person. So we've been looking at functioning things, at impermanent phenomena, and so within the category of all phenomena, we've been particularly looking at these functioning things. So all functioning things, they have a nature, they have a cause, and they have a result. So when we look at what the nature of something is, it's exactly as we've been saying up to this point many times. So when something appears to us, it appears in a way that it's not dependent on causes and conditions. But this is not the nature of all functioning things. Then when we investigate and we find that the way that the nature of something, how it appears to us, it's not how it exists. And then this not finding, we see that it's not inherently existent, this is empty. This is emptiness, sorry. And this emptiness is its nature.
So
we've spoken about this a lot in the context of the aggregates. So how do the aggregates appear? They appear to be independent, they appear to be inherently existent, but the way that they appear is not the way that they exist. So we've spoken about this a lot, and this is exactly the same for all functioning things, for all impermanent phenomena. So previously, at the last time, we looked at the five paths. So we looked at the paths of accumulation, the path of preparation, the path of seeing, meditation, and the path of no more training. So last time we looked at these five paths. So what we were looking at earlier this morning was on this form, is empty in this form. That was for the practitioners on the paths of accumulation and preparation. Now we come to we move on in the sutra, and we come to the way to meditate on emptiness on the path of seeing. What is it that relates in the sutra? What is it that relates specifically to the path of seeing? And that are these eight terms that come here. So we have Shariputra, likewise all phenomena are, and then the eight terms. Emptiness, without characteristic, unproduced, unceased, stainless, not without stain, not deficient, not fulfilled. So the practitioners on the paths of accumulation and preparation, we saw how the main activities include listening to teachings, studying and accumulating merit, as well as meditating. Now they come to the path of seeing, and so their main activity now will become to meditate on these eight terms here, or the meaning of these eight terms. So the meditator comes to look at the nature of the aggregates, the nature of the person. So they look at how the person appears to their mind, and that appears as being independent of causes and conditions, independent of parts, and as existing truly, as existing inherently. And when they seek and they search this person, of course they don't find it. So they come to the understanding that the person does not exist inherently, the person is empty of inherent existence. And this understanding is the nature of the person and its emptiness. The perfection of wisdom sutras are in varying lengths. There's the very big one, which is 100,000 verses. There's the middling size one, which is 20 or 25,000 verses. Then there's the short one of 8,000 verses, and the particularly short one, this one here. And throughout them, we hear this this negative term, this negation term. Geno is saying it now repeatedly, meh, meh, meh. So when you're reading it in Tibetan, you'll see this meh or ma. So it's negation. We don't exactly have it in English, but in these eight terms, we'll see there's the negative terms with each of them. So without characteristics, the unproduced, the unceased, the less in stainless. So these are all negation and negative terms. So in Tibetan, it's easier; it's just the same word. But so what this negative is showing is that doesn't exist inherently, doesn't exist truly. So when we're reading the sutra and we're coming across all these negative terms, or this negative, this un or less or not without, this all indicates not inherently existent, just said in an abbreviated manner.
Now, in the Pumbodhi, that the Nizhi Rangung and the Druba Mena Ganesh Yorelana.
So if the person doesn't exist inherently, how does the person exist? The person exists dependent on causes and conditions, dependent on parts. So if we accept that our aggregates arise in dependence on causes and conditions, then we need to look at those causes and conditions. So how do they exist? And do they exist in the way that they appear? Do they exist inherently? Do they exist truly? And then again, no. The causes from which the aggregates arise, they too are dependent arisings. So those causes on which our aggregates depend, they too are dependent on other causes. Except for being, there's no other way they can exist except as dependent risings, dependent on causes of their own.
So, like
we looked at before, so if we talk about our aggregates in, depending on causes, a rough and easy way to understand would be we came from parents, and without the causes of parents, then our aggregates wouldn't have come about. And likewise, the cause of our aggregates, namely our parents, they too are dependent on other causes. So this is the term without characteristic. So what without characteristic means that these causes in terms of their nature are not inherently existent. The causes, they themselves are dependent arising. They themselves are dependent on parts, dependent on causes. So the term without characteristics refers to causes being not inherently existent, or their nature is not being inherently existent.
So
that is the meaning of the term without characteristics. So this presentation is divided into these three doors of liberation, which we mentioned at the end of the last session. I'll just mention the name. So the first one, which is empty, so that is the first door of liberation. It just has the one term, and that is called door of liberation, emptiness. Not so eloquent, but anyway, door of liberation, emptiness, and that relates to the first term, empty. And so this empty, this is something we've really looked at repeatedly the last few days. The nature of all phenomena is not inherently existent. And then now the second term we come to without characteristics. This is the first of five terms that fall under the second of these three doors of liberation. The door of liberation, signlessness. Door of liberation, signlessness. So without characteristics is the first of five that fall under there. So the third term, which is the second under the door of liberation signlessness, is unproduced. So unproduced, here it's saying that this relates to results. So when a cause ripens, there's a result. So it's not saying that causes or results are not produced. It's saying that the nature of results are not inherently existent. So again, it's going to the nature of the phenomenon as not being inherently existent. And in this case, unproduced, the phenomenon is result. So results are produced, but they're not inherently produced. So the one we had before was about causes without characteristics. The second one now in this section is unproduced, and that is about results. And so both of them, it's about their nature, and their nature not being inherently existent. It's not saying there are no causes, there are no results. It's saying their nature is not inherently existent. Results, of course, they are produced, but they are not produced inherently. They're not dependent. They're not independent. They are too dependent on causes and conditions. So a result, something that comes about, is of course dependent on causes and conditions. So the aggregates, they are produced, but they are produced in dependence on causes and conditions. Other than being, so the result of the aggregates, or whichever phenomenon one is investigating, the result of that of production is a result that has come about in dependence on causes. It's not something that is free of that isn't dependent on others. It's not something that exists from its own side or from its own nature. So the result, it's the nature of the result, it doesn't exist from its own side. It's a dependent arising. It depends on causes. So to review these three terms we've looked at, empty without characteristics and unproduced, so we take an example of a tree. So if we look at the nature of a tree, in the same way as we've been looking throughout, the way that it appears to us is to be existent from its own side, to be independent of causes, not a dependent arising. When we investigate, we see it doesn't exist that way. The nature of a tree is too a dependent arising. And now the tree comes, of course, from causes. Then those causes, when we investigate and how they appear and how they exist, we'll see those causes too are dependent arisings. The causes of a tree are not inherently existent. And from the causes, a tree will grow. Then likewise, results that will come from the causes, the tree, its leaves, the blossoms and the like, all of these results, in their nature, they too are not inherently existent. They too are dependent on causes and dependent on parts. So when we're looking at the first term, empty, the nature of the phenomenon, that is the dependent arising. We're looking at the causes of the phenomenon, that's without characteristics, that is a dependent arising. Then we look at the results, the nature of which is unproduced, the nature of the result is also a dependent arising. So it's really just drilling down in detail, step by step, to see how things, nowhere are things found, to be found that are inherently existent. So we've spoken before about aggregates, we've spoken about a tree now. Of course, this applies to every single functioning thing, everything that's impermanent.
So demama dubi yule jaware tebu jire demama dubi tebu jire sin di shaya ma horzon takwan da kol gyo ma re tebu yo ma no
So we've been really looking all the time now at impermanent phenomena, at functioning things. But if we were to look at a permanent phenomenon, the nature of a permanent phenomenon is empty. So in the same way as the functioning thing. So this first term, empty, applies to permanent phenomenon in the same way as it does to impermanent phenomenon. However, the without characteristics and unproduced only apply to functioning things, to impermanent phenomenon, because something that's permanent isn't produced and it doesn't produce results. So this without characteristics and unproduced does not apply to permanent phenomenon, only to impermanent phenomenon. So therefore, this very first term, empty, this applies to all phenomena, because the phenomena can be divided, as we've said, into permanent and impermanent. And the term empty applies to both permanent and impermanent, to all phenomena, everything that exists is empty. The,
yeah.
So then we come to the fourth term, unceased. So unceased also relates to results. So everything unceased. So everything that that is produced. So every result, everything that is produced, we see around us how it, how they disintegrate. So, for example, we age, trees and the like. The other example we looked at, they wither and die. So, everything that is produced, it does disintegrate. So what unceased means here is not saying that things don't cease, because it's clear things, because cease we could maybe say disintegrate. So it's clear that things do, once they come into fruition, they disintegrate. So this is clear. So unceased doesn't mean that this does not happen. Rather it means that in the nature of this disintegration, of this, in our case of aging or the trees of withering and dying, this, the nature of that process is not inherently existent. It too is a dependent arising, it depends on causes, it depends on parts. So this, again, this negative, this un, this shows that it's not inherently existent, it's not truly existent. It's not saying that things don't cease.
Mm-hmm.
So now we come to the fifth one, stainless, or which is the also the fourth one of the door of liberation, signlessness. So stainless. So what a stain is, it's another word for an affliction. So here we're talking about affliction, so minds of anger, attachments, and the like. So whilst it's saying staying as stainless, or we could say no afflictions, Of course, it would be an amazing Dharma teaching if they said there were no afflicted minds. When we hear about these unhappy minds, these troubling minds all the time. So it's not saying there's no anger, there's no attachment, there's no jealousy, there's no pride, that these things just don't exist. It's not saying this at all. So what this list in stainless is indicating that whilst there are afflictions, afflictions do not exist, or these disturbing unhappy emotions, they do not exist in the way that they appear as things that are inherent from their own side, things that are not dependent on causes. They do not exist in that way. So this is what the negative, the list, indicates here.
Raja, Jashi Senpa Sajorwa, that Dima de la Yang, go, negotiation of Masona, Yawachi, and do, go Nyendu, Tiki, Banja, Jajim Benyakasu, Bango, Bango Yagin, Tibachik. The Raja, Jajim Medieval told you the Bango and Timachikore, Tizula, Dima de Gleaming Girl, that was in a new Nibla Wars, new Nip Seming Tavores.
So, previously we looked at the different lineages or types of practitioners. So remember there were three. There was the hearer, the solitary realizer, and the bodhisattva. So all three strive to abandon stains or afflictions. So all three try to abandon them. And other than the difference or the strength of the afflictions, then all three types of practitioners strive to abandon the afflictions. So the type of affliction, or the name given to the types of afflictions that the hearers and solitary realizers, the Tibetan practitioners, strive to abandon, is afflictive obscurations. So the Tibetan practitioners, both types of them, are striving to abandon these afflictive obscurations. The Bodhisattva, whilst she's also striving to abandon the afflictive obscurations, her main object of abandonment is not the afflictive obscurations, but the obscurations to omniscience, or sometimes called obscurations to knowledge, just a different translation. So the Bodhisattva practice, a practitioner, she's striving primarily to abandon the obscurations to omniscience, and indirectly the obscurations to the afflictive obscurations. But these afflictive obscurations are the main object of abandonment for the Tibetan practitioners, for the hearers and solitary realizers. So for the Tibetan practitioners, their path is really all focused on abandoning these afflictive obscurations. On their path, the obscurations to omniscience, they don't even try to overcome them. They're just kind of ignored, because for their goal, they don't need to overcome the obscurations to
omniscience.
And this is because for them to attain their goal of a foe destroyer, or of an arhat, they need to abandon the afflictive obscurations, or they need to abandon the afflictions together with their seeds. That is all that is required. And I don't mean all that and it's easy, but they just need to abandon that to attain their goal of the state of an arhat, the state of a foe destroyer. So hence they don't need to look at the obscurations to omniscience, because they are not... The overcoming them is not required in order to attain their goal of the state of an arhat. So when the Tibetan practitioner, the hero or solitary realizer, attains their goal of arhatship, they have no problems. They've overcome all these disturbing mindsets that harm us so much. They've completely overcome them. So they have attained their nirvana. However, in terms of qualities, they still have a huge number of qualities still to attain. And this is the primary difference in terms of where they are as opposed to a Buddha. It's really about this huge number of qualities that are different. It doesn't mean that they have overcome all obscurations and all objects of abandonment. They're still, the Tivadin photostrays still have the obscurations and omniscience to abandon. But for their goal, they didn't need to abandon those. But so when we're saying they are in an undisturbed state, that's because they've overcome these obscurations to omniscience to liberation. The afflictive obscurations, but they still have the obscurations to omniscience, the obscurations to knowledge to overcome. So they have objects of abandonment still to overcome, as well as they have attainments to attain as well. So when we look at these afflictive obscurations, of course they arise from a cause. They're not causeless. So they arise from a cause. And what is the cause of the afflictive obscurations? It's the obscurations to omniscience. So therefore, a bodhisattva strives primarily to overcome the obscurations to omniscience, not the obscurations to liberation. That is the primary object of abandonment of a bodhisattva. And that's because when they overcoming the obscurations to omniscience, the bodhisattva will naturally overcome the obscurations to liberation. You could almost say, like, as a side effect or indirectly.
Mm.
Die Shingdong Mepa Sona, den Rang sing die Tsa, Shigira.
Shingdong, die Shingjörwa, Shingdong Ramde Zayörwa, Shingdong Mei Tsi, die Shingdong Ramde Zayörwa, Mei Tsigirwa. Tsigirwa. Ah, aber was
ist?
Shingdong, Shingjörwa, Zayörwa, Shingdong Ramde Zah, die Shingche, Benen, du, ne, du, lo, jörwa. Nghe du lo de meta tang ma sam chen nga zu bu meta tang ma sam chen nga du kun di ka bla mi nu mu xue che meta tang chen du lo chi gi de wa ko mi di ge nghe du lo meta tang ma sam yo ma nga meta tang ma sam de wa di na xin xin yo xin yo de wa xin dam de ta ji yo wa za ta xin ni ge yo de che za mi di ge za de meta tang go me wa zu gu ma sam ba ji ni le xin di me wa zu gu du sam ji xin le me jia na xin chi yo de xin dam de yuan za xia zang mi chi du go le
所以，所以，so if you take again the illustration of a tree, so if someone is thinking just to destroy the tree and not thinking about the roots, but the way that they destroy the tree is with fire, they will indirectly also destroy the roots of the tree. Because the roots of the tree seem to surround the tree, maybe they're quite near the surface, and therefore with a fire that destroys this, the tree as well, also destroys the roots of the tree. So, in simile, the tree can be likened to the obscurations to omniscience, and the roots to the obscurations to liberation. So, the bodhisattva striving to destroy the obscurations to omniscience, the tree burns it and destroys the tree. But the strength of that fire also destroys the obscurations to liberation or the roots at the same time. Okay. So in some texts, the terms afflictive obscurations and obscurations to knowledge are not used. So other term is used. So instead of afflictive obscurations, possessing afflictions, so that's a synonym for afflictive obscurations, and nyomongchen mayimpa, and not possessing afflictions, is the nyomongchen mayimpa dang shirip. So then instead of saying obscurations to omniscience, they use a term not possessing afflictions. And so where we come across these different terms is when we study tenets, because the Buddhist tenets or the Buddhist philosophical views are roughly divided into four, and within these four different terms are used, and that's where we can come across these different terms. So in the future we'll have the opportunity to study tenets, but we can look at it briefly here, and then there's some imprint left in the mind. So the four schools, I'm not sure if you used the Sanskrit or English, so I'll give both if I can. So the Vaibhashika is the first school, or the Great Exposition School, the Vaibhashika. The second is Sautrantika, or the Sutra School. The third is the Chittamatra, or mind-only school. And then the fourth is the Middle Way School. That's only English is ever used. So I'll say it again. So the first is the Vaibhashika, or Great Exposition School. The second is the Sautrantika, or the Sutra School. And the third is the mind-only, or the Chittamatra. And the fourth is the Middle Way School. So this order is a progressive order. So starting from the philosophical school that has the course's explanation, we have the Vaibhashika. And whilst the Sautrantika, the second school, is very similar to them in their understanding, Sautrantika's understanding is slightly more refined. But these two are quite similar. Then the mind-only, or the Chittamatrans, they have a more refined understanding of the Buddha's view, but the most subtle understanding is that of the Middle Way School.
So the two
schools with the coarsest understanding, the Vaibhashika and the Sautrantika, they are the two schools that use these terms. What did I say? Because I can't remember the proper terms. It's been a while. The possessing afflictions and those not possessing afflictions. So they don't use the term afflictive obscurations and obscurations to knowledge. These are used by the two higher schools, the Chittamatrans and the Middle Way schools. So the two schools with the coarser understanding, they use these other terms. I'm sorry, the English terms, it's not coming. But it's something like possessing afflictions and not possessing afflictions. So then the two higher schools, those of the Chittamatra and the Middle Way school, they are the ones who use the terms afflictive obscurations and obscurations to knowledge, or obscurations to omniscience.
Is that that the dinane, the gamma, simzamba, the umaba yinane, umaba, umaba di koshigin, that il shirip and yonjip setinikishin shiwares.
So, this. Text that we're studying, the Heart Sutra, this is we're studying it in the context or with the understanding of the high school, the middle way school. Hence here we're talking about the afflictive obscurations and obscurations to
omniscience. Dinitib Nana Tonsigre. Chesa Mandu Jizlagi Shirita, Nurziki, Shirina, Yomot, and Yoma, Chemayan Balashas, Karina Sambigi, the Dinigi, Samlo Chihe Yon Sirwa.
So the reason I'm explaining these other terms, although they're actually not present in the context of what we're studying, is because on your own you may be reading other books, and there you come across other terminology, and it can be a bit confusing. Why is this term being used and this explanation being given when we've just heard something different in the class? So therefore, I'm just presenting the other way of explaining it than and other terminology that you may come across elsewhere. So it's quite possible that when we're starting to explore topics such as this, that when you're reading different books and we're coming across different terminology and different explanations, we can get a bit confused. And we certainly run the danger of actually taking a valid explanation and putting it to one side and saying, oh, that's wrong, because I've heard something different. However, it could just be that the context is different, or that the viewpoint that it's coming from, the tenet that it's coming from, that is different. But nevertheless, when we're starting out, it's quite easy for us to make an error such as that. So At the time of the Buddha made a rule that the monks were not allowed to use the a bear rug made of bear skin, and so the Buddha made a rule like that.
Ane korongi dini pejina ma kod ma loyo de yenogi dumji papa tin tyoshu ma re sa di thon wa
So then sometime later, a monk was reading the sutra, and he saw that what the Buddha had said, that monks aren't allowed to make use of a bear skin. And he was sitting there with a bear skin, I guess keeping warm. And immediately regret arose within him, because he had faith in the Buddha, and so he immediately took his bear skin and threw it outside. The monk, because he had a strong faith, he continued to read the text, and he was reading on, and then he saw further on in the sutra that the Buddha said, but if a monk is ill and requires a bear skin for his health to stay warm and the like, then it's okay for him to use. So the monk immediately went to retrieve the bear skin that he had thrown outside, because the weather was very cold and the bear skin has a lot of thick fur, and that was able to keep him warm and keep him healthy.
So
it's in the same way, it's very easy for us, if we don't understand the situation or the context properly, that we can come to a wrong conclusion and overreact in the same way that the monk did when he saw that all monks aren't allowed bear skins, and immediately reacted strongly. So in the same way, without knowing the full picture, so to speak, we can also overreact in a similar way. So
it's important to bear in mind when we're reading Dharma texts that we will come across what are seemingly contradictory views and contradictory presentations.
For sure we'll come across this, but we need to bear in mind that the Buddha taught in this way because of the different aspirations of people, the different mental dispositions of people. And so for some, he needed to present the Dharma in a particular way so as to benefit them. And so we need to bear this in mind when we do come across contradictions.
So
what we're finding here is what we're finding in this particular text is it's being presented in the context, or it's presented to an audience of people who are receptive to the middle way of view. So this particular text is being presented in that context. So that's something that we need to bear in mind.
Okay,
Sorry, earlier I was talking about these two words that are used in the text instead of afflictive obscurations and afflictive obscurations and obscurations or omniscience, and I couldn't remember what they were. I found them now, so I'll just pass it on a little bit later. So so they use the same word, afflictive obscurations, as the other schools use, but the second word, they don't talk about obscurations to omniscience. Instead, they call them non-afflictive obscurations. So they seem to have these two here. So the two lower schools, the Vaibhashika and the Sautrantika, they don't talk about obscurations to liberation and obscurations to omniscience. Those are the two terms used by the higher schools. The lower schools use the terms afflictive obscurations and non-afflictive obscurations. Okay. So, sorry about that.
Na de ne ga tu ge di she di uma bi ko shi ro da uma ba de le uma rang ju ba sia da uma ten ju ba sia ko ran ne na lo le yang ni she yo le.
So we had the presentation where we mentioned the four schools of Buddhist philosophical views. Then the school with the most subtle view is that of the middle way. Then the middle way is further subdivided into two. So the Svatantika, or the autonomists, and the Prasangikas, or the consequentialists. So the middle way school is divided into two, Svatantika and Prasangika, or the autonomists and the consequentialists. So amongst all the understandings of the Buddhist view, the subtlest understanding, the highest, the supreme understanding, is that as presented by the Prasangikas.
So amongst
the different paths, where we have the paths of the hero, the solitary realized, and the bodhisattva, the path of the bodhisattva is the supreme path, the highest path. And likewise, amongst the philosophical views, the presentation of the Prasangika, that is the highest presentation, the supreme presentation. So today we've looked at these two supreme methods. In particular, we've looked at the path of the bodhisattva, which is the supreme path, the supreme method. Then we've looked at the view of the Prasangika. That's a whole presentation on emptiness here. It's presented according to the view of the Prasangika. So we've been looking at the supreme view in the context of the supreme practice. So what we've really been doing here is best, because we've had both the best in terms of method as well as the best in terms of view or wisdom.
Jimadan Java, Ladu, Jimadan Java, Sidu, Manzu, Jimadi, Meosia, your brother, Meva. Chisamanzu, Benedetta, Jimadan Java, that dinner, Jimadan Java, Meva, Jimadan Java, Jimadan Java. So Jimazia did the designated shade, Manzu Yunjip, that she said. Chisan Jimadan Java, Ladu, Nanjeda, Mini Ranja de Yigi, Lamla, Lobjon, Jesus, Jimmy Yunjip, Dan Jaja.
Okay, so we've now come to the next term, not stainless. So this, under the door of liberation, signlessness is the fourth one, or is it the fifth one? It's the fifth one, not stainless. So here, not stainless. So to put it in just a different way to express it, so a literal translation would be not free from stains, but the meaning is the same. So not stainless or not free from stains.
Lam Gomjin, Yundip the Papa, and Yundip the Java, so Timan and Java. Yandia, Ranjaki, Dajuma, Jibotovandi, Yundip Timan and Java, the elevators.
So, of the three types of practitioners, we've seen how the hearer, solitary realizer, and bodhisattva, they have the different objects of abandonment, the afflictive, the obscurations to liberation, and the obscurations to omniscience. So, the hearer and the solitary realizer, they're striving to overcome their obscurations to liberation. And so to overcome them, they needed to abandon these afflictions. And that is what's being referred to here. And then in addition to that, the bodhisattva needs to abandon both the obscurations to omniscience and the obscurations to liberation. So the bodhisattva needs to overcome both, like we were saying earlier. So with the previous one, the stainless, so here we saw how the afflictions themselves were are dependent arisings. They arise in dependence on causes and conditions. And now with not stainless, here it's the way that they because these afflictions are dependent arisings, they can be abandoned. So it's one step further. Deni sapa kona deni adrima me pade deni nyomo konso kari tenjore deni adrima dang jawa me
adrima dang jawa labdu adrima meba se yishor adrima dang meba se adrima meba mare adrima yore me se adi rangone maduba re lo
so this
adrima dang jawa se adrima meba chara adi kanis meba chagre
So the reason, so this next step with this not stainless is it's because the afflictions are not inherently existent that they can be destroyed. So it's that second step. So the first one, stainless, was showing how the afflictions are dependent arisings. And now we go one further. Because they're dependent arisings, they can be destroyed or they can be eliminated.
So
the way that the practitioners, the bodhisattvas and the like, they overcome the stains or they destroy the stains, eliminate the stains, is through practicing the path. So we've seen in the lam room, the paths are presented in quite some detail. So it's through practicing those paths that the afflictions are overcome.
Mm.
So when we look at the parts in that are used to overcome the afflictions, we have them very clearly presented in the Lamrim. So the Lamrim starts with the importance of relying on a spiritual friend and how to rely on a spiritual friend, and then talks about the preciousness of the human rebirth, etc., and then presents the methods for attaining fortunate rebirths in the future, so rebirths of a human or a god in the future. And then the Lamrim continues to show that just having such a rebirth isn't sufficient. It doesn't bring any lasting relief at all. And then it talks about liberation and attainment of liberation.
So with
the Lamrim presentation, we see how that attaining temporary relief from suffering really is insufficient. We need to attain liberation. And when we have a good understanding of the need to attain liberation, we have this understanding of suffering. And then the practitioner, seeing how they are tormented by suffering, has this desire to attain liberation. But they see how they're not the only ones suffering like this, but rather every mother sentient being is suffering in the same way. And the Lamrim then goes on to present the method to develop the mind of enlightenment, to develop bodhicitta, by seeing how all sentient beings are suffering in the same way, and that the responsibility to help others and to help others be free of their suffering rests upon us as individuals. And then the Lamrim continues with the presentation on how to develop this mind of bodhicitta and strengthen this mind of bodhicitta to take responsibility to help others, and to do that, to the state of omniscience, the state of Buddhahood, needs to be attained. And in order to attain the state of Buddhahood, the Lamrim then comes to the final presentation that to do with reality. So this whole meaning of the Lamrim, this huge, vast, expansive presentation, is included just in these two terms here, stainless and not stainless, where we're talking about the afflictions and that the afflictions can be overcome. This is all presented, this is a very abbreviated form of the Lamrim. Now, of course, we don't read these and just this doesn't come automatically to our mind, but that is the meaning behind this. Because what is presented here with not stainless is that the afflictions can be removed, and how can they be removed? And then this is all indirectly implied. It's a practice of the path. It's the development of wisdom. It's the development of the minds of love and compassion. So it's through the practicing of this path that the afflictions can be overcome. So this whole vast meaning of the path is behind this term, not stainless.
Jiwa meba se, jiwa meba se, jiwa meba la de, nyu ta meba se, jiwa la de nyu nyu ta ba de. Chesa nyu mong ba de ji, han zu gom jene, nyu nyu zu meba se yor ba ko, shuk chen bo de, shuk chun chun ta yor ba de. Di na de chikon jiwa meba la de, 되네기 유물 따야네 니버촌 따야 매바 세 고월 지 코로나
So then we come to the seventh term, undiminished, which is the first of the two of the door of liberation, wishlessness. So this now we undiminished. So the stains, the afflictions, so they can be eliminated, as we've seen. They can decrease in strength, get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So it's not that they cannot be diminished. We've seen now previously how the afflictions can be reduced. So we mustn't take this meaning undiminished as literal. So the way that we come to abandon our afflictions is through the practicing of the path. So another way to say that is that the afflictions, they can be overcome. But how are they overcome? Causes and conditions. What are those causes and conditions? They're practicing the path. So again, we're coming back to that the object that we're looking at is not inherently existent. It's not independent, the dependence arising. So even the state of having abandoned the afflictions, that too is a dependence arising. That too is not inherently existent. It is empty of inherent existence. So you can just see how as we're progressing through these eight terms, we're just drilling deeper and deeper. So here we've seen that the afflictions can be abandoned, that they are dependent arisings. And now that there's the abandonment of the afflictions is dependence on causes, it's dependence on the practice of the path. So now the last term, unfilled. So unfilled, it's literal. So filled is like again indicated with his cup. You pour water in, it's filled. So that's what filled means here. It could also be translated as completed or uncompleted, because here it's referring to qualities. So all the qualities, they are unfilled. So we've seen how the negative states can be eliminated. Likewise, all good qualities can be developed. But the development of good qualities, this is not anything other than being a dependent arising. The development of all good qualities is dependent on causes and conditions, dependent on the path. So that's what unfilled refers to, or we could maybe say uncompleted. It means it's not inherently completed. So all the qualities, even when qualities are fully completed to the level of a Buddha, then this too is lacking inherent existence. This too is empty of inherent existence.
Then
So how does this this presentation relate to us as individuals in our own individual circumstances? So here we need to look at two sides, and they relate really very directly to what we've had here. So on the one hand, we have this unhappiness in our mind, our afflictive minds, our minds that disturb our inner happiness and our inner peace. So all of these minds, when they come about, we need to reflect on their causes, and that they too are empty of inherent existence because they are dependent arisings. So these unhappy minds that we feel, they are dependent arisings. And because they're dependent arisings, they will go, they can be eliminated. And likewise, there are methods to deal with these minds. There are methods to overcome the suffering minds we have. And those methods, too, are dependent arisings. And because they're dependent arisings, we can practice them, we can implement them. And through this continued process of seeing our suffering minds as not being inherently existent, and therefore weakening them, and then having the confidence that through continuously applying antidotes, because these antidotes are not inherently existent, they will strengthen. So the one mind, the unhappy, our mirrored unhappy minds, the selfish minds, they can weaken. Our antidotes to them can strengthen. So because of and that's all because there are dependent arisings. So that is how this teaching relates very directly to our own personal experience. So that's one half. Then the other half is, we don't only want to be free from sufferings, we also want to have happiness. So all happinesses too are dependent arisings. They do not exist inherently out there, things that cannot increase or decrease, cannot grow and be developed. So when we look at our good minds, our generous minds, our kind minds, our loving minds, these we have and they are dependent arising, so they can grow. And there's a method to make them grow, a path that can be practiced. And through this path, because this path itself is a dependent arising, our positive minds can strengthen and our practice can strengthen. So on both sides, we're looking at minds. And we have the suffering minds, the minds that cause us so much unhappiness, and the minds and the good qualities that we want to develop. Both of these are dependent arisings, which means they can grow and strengthen. Then likewise, for both of them, we have methods, we have paths. And because they are dependent arisings, through continued habituation and practice, our qualities will increase, our suffering minds will decrease.
Anjule digi nega vina da jemagi kewa chimagi na da digi duya so anjuge da jamba da jawa anjuge semba sangbo gewe le duwa ina anjuge ne da di nega vina da chimai na da anjuge digi yungu ye banda anjuge da so ro chi dine thol ya ne gejo da semba sangbo dine ge thol lo chong je nyamnen je de lalen da de da ge shu shu da cha yes.
So therefore, it's really, when we think about this, we can really get some confidence that by applying ourselves to virtue and applying the teachings in our lives, in our daily activities, that our suffering minds will weaken. The good qualities that we have and we want to develop, our kind heart, our minds of loving kindness, these will grow and strengthen. And by continuing to practice like this day after day, we will take care of this life here. We will become happier people and better people and nicer people in this life. And likewise, our future lives will continue, will improve and be on an upward stream. Okay, so I don't know if it really came across in the last bit I said there, but again, the point Genla was really making was about this continual application over time. One, a dealing at being aware of our minds on both the suffering side and the positive side, and then two, being aware of the path and the application of that, and really continuing to look at this process and engage in this process in our daily activities, and then over a period of time, the results really will come about. So that was really the main point he was making there. And then, next time we're going to move on to the way to meditate on emptiness on the path of meditation. So here, just to present it in brief, we look at the 18 constituents, the 12 sources. We come to the 18 constituents, the 12 sources. That's a large portion of the verse. Then we come to the 12 links of dependent arising, and the Four Noble Truths. So that's all. That's what we'll look at next time. Then the Kamchopke, the Keche Chuni, the Dendril Chuni, the Denpashi. Okay. So that's what to look forward to next time. Okay. Questions.
I just didn't quite get the Kasan Gika school. Is that the consequentialist school? Or
yes.
Or the school?
Yes. The Prasan Gika is the consequentialist. Yes. And then the Svatantika are the autonomists. Okay. I'll say them all quickly. The Vaibhashika are the great exposition school. The Svatantika are the sutra school. The mind-only Chittamatrans. Then the middle way are divided into Svatantika, which are the autonomists, and the Prasangika, which are the consequentialists. Sure. I'll just say it again, like that, so he doesn't know what we're talking about. Yeah? Then Kong
And I just have another question on translation. When you use he or she, is that because you're reflecting what Geshe Radkin is using, the pronoun, or is that your choice?
It usually doesn't come with a pronoun.
Yeah.
In Tibetan, pronouns aren't used much. Sentences make sense without pronouns.
So that's your choice.
Yeah, it's my choice. Okay. Then po yamina mo labna, the kerengi di sungi yobe, yamina kikua di labi yorepe, stretang so. Then kumla namgyun, perki dokla, tamtam japopo labgore, namgyun ma labna, then tijup dundak yore. Then tike dokla japopo mena, then he dundak mindu. Then po damo, labi yode, midam ke yin.
Just in relation to the tree analogy that you used, I can see the cause and condition of a tree or of a plant, but I can't see the cause and condition of a seed other than the tree.
Hmm. Did everyone hear the question? Okay. Then, Peyton, singoni kola kesi sedu teni kon di kudan jabo ha goyele lapore. Din sabun Peyton de teni sabun ki kukari andi agamajo.
Kari sabasure.
Chidan. Chidan. Nono nato Peyton de singoni sabun de yang kuyere.
Iwa. Binen anjuge chige singogi singo sabun taguruwa sabun shoruwa. Di sabun ni kare bene. 만주이 내로 신나 내 그런 게 주지 않아도 마답이 내게 주지 사번디 아니 그런 주디 녀마게 내 롱아마게 내지를 끼리로 다디 다 다롱 왔다에게 사번 내디 니 내 주디 주디 가서 롱에마 담네 끼디게 사번 내디 규차리거 다디도 신은 규게 내 그런 거 자유 주야야야 제마 줘봐 있나 그런 게 제게 제 내게 주요하게 제시어로 야야야 토마 디넬레샤 세베게 시에투 가보레 센트비에 시에투 마이
So if you take a particular seed, then that seed would have come from a previous crop. So again, I was using the example of barley. So if we have barley seeds to plant this year, then those barley seeds would have been left over from the previous year's crop. And that previous year's crop, those seeds would have come from the year previous to that, going backwards. As to where the very first barley seed came from, that's a little difficult to say. And whether it's a barley seed or human beings, where the very first human being came from, that's also a little difficult to say. And scientists would also have a hard time saying where the very first barley seed came from. But certainly the seed that we're planting today, that came from last year. So in that way, we can see a causal effect. Okay. Rubia?
When we first started, we looked at the three doors of revelation, and then we started talking about the eight things and the half a thing. I wasn't really clear around the three doors of revelation.
Okay. So, I'll just mention where the eight fits into the three doors. Again, I didn't say anything more on the three doors than that, but I'll ask. But I'll just say where the eight fit in. So the first one, empty, that was the door of liberation, emptiness. Then the last two, undiminished and unfulfilled, were door of liberation, wishlessness. And then the five in between, they were the door of liberation, signlessness. But those are just names. That was all that was said. So do you want to know what does that mean? Wishlessness. This one. The door three is the last two. So undiminished and unfilled, they fall under wishlessness. Wishlessness. Door of liberation, wishlessness. It's a little difficult. So wishless, we hope for something, and lessness. L-E-S-S-N-E-S-S. Oh, yeah. And the one before this, also not easy, signlessness.
And that was
for five of them. So from without characteristics downwards to unproduced, unceased, stainless, not stainless. So those five. So the very first one, empty, is door of liberation, emptiness. Then the next five, door of liberation, signlessness. And these last two are door of liberation, wishlessness. And those last two being undiminished and unfilled. Okay. Dene di tige di tompeni tini mepa kari gangwa mepa padu. Dene de dang di nampatape go jawa kari yorepes. Dene ngai di tig kari dang go kari jawa yome ngai di lapa ying. Yine dene di go sum. De dona kari regana.
Number tebi kosum la ya de ngobo tela koron hoje koron kyuche tebuje suma do ya ya mon
okay then it ya ka sang so the to go adding love me then it di love ki then it kri tapa tope ko tompe de
number ko tompa I koron hoje number du ko chama me ba sido koron kyu kyu chama ma du ba sili ke wa re sa number tebi ko monba me ba sido koron ki tebu
So the three of them, so the door of liberation, emptiness, is to do with nature phenomenon. The door of liberation, signlessness, is to do with causes. So the first one, nature, the second one, causes, and the door of liberation, wishlessness, is to do with results. Yeah? So nature, cause, result. And then the explanation for all three will be the same, that they are empty of inherent existence, they are dependent arisings. So you can apply that then to nature, to cause, and to results. Okay. Anila?
This goes back to Friday night.
No, no.
When we talk about the aggregate,
mm-hmm.
Born, doing, so on, can't get my head around composition
at that. Mm. Okay. So, did you hear at the back? So, on the aggregates, can you say something more on compositional factors?
Yeah, if that's possible.
Yeah. 두제기 분포 아디야 하루마춤 데 에티스 망 망와 송으로간 두제기 분포
두제기 분포는 안 간다 근데 넘버 셔바 초와 두시 수 대시 마행 경기 안에 셔바 남자 망 보여래 제가 네 마행이 뭐보 남자 망 보여래 뒤쳐서라 네 마행 경 디시 수 제 초와 제 안 두시 제 넘버 셔바 제 네 마행 경기
So we have the five aggregates. So everything that's in existence, that does and a functioning thing that doesn't fall into one of the other four goes into the compositional factors.
Here
comes the answer you're looking for. So to give an illustration, because this is what we need, yeah? So if we take a vase, the famous vase, so the vase is impermanent. So this impermanence, it's a functioning thing, it's impermanent, obviously, being impermanent. Where does it come? It's not form, it's not feeling, it's not compositional factors, discrimination, and it's not consciousness, so it's a compositional factor. So impermanence, that's one. Then another one, so if we take all minds, so minds are of course functioning things, they're impermanent. So we take all minds, then we can divide them into two. So we can have what's either called mind or called main mind, and then we have mental factors. Mental factors. So main minds, they fall under the last one, consciousness. So those are all the main minds, so like the I sense consciousness, that falls under consciousness. So where do the mental factors go? Well, one of them is a feeling, is the feeling aggregate. Another one is the discrimination aggregate. And all the others go into the compositional factors aggregate. So anger, attachment, faith, perseverance. Choice, perseverance, all these other mental factors, they go under the compositional factors aggregate. Is that better, yeah? Okay, good question. Another question? Okay, then finish for the weekend.
Yeah, big table and just the tall table with everything else. Thank you. Leave the front row of red table, take all the tall tables, leave everything else.
Okay.